First, let's pray. Father, I just thank you for this day, for us being able to set it apart, and for us giving your word and helping it to seep into our hearts so that we live it out in Yeshua's name. Oh, I didn't know about this. How do you do it? Okay. So the Torah portion, the Haftorah, is in Joshua. What do you see? And so the going back to the Torah portion this week, it begins with Moses, and he's sending out 12 men to spy out the land of Canaan. Tells them to see the land, what it is, and the people that dwell therein, whether they're strong or weak, whether they're few or many, what the land is that they dwell in, whether it's good or bad, and what cities are that they dwell in, whether in camps or in strongholds, what the land is it fat or lean, whether there's wood therein or not. And be you of good courage, and bring of the fruit of the land. That's from the Israel Bible. The Haftorah portion this week jumps ahead 39 years later. And they're getting ready to finally, they're going to cross over into Jericho, into the good land. This time the instruction comes from Joshua. You know, and I'm sure he still remembers being pretty rebuffed 39 years ago about his story of what was in the land. So he's keeping this on the down low. He sends two spies out secretly, and they're not even named in this portion. There's no further instructions. It's just go view the land, go view Jericho. Both times the word spying is used. There's two different words that are used for spying, and I noticed that by looking at the Hebrew. And they're different words. You know, in the U.S., spying is spying. We just have one word. But there's different purposes. So in English, again, spying is spying. There's different meanings in Hebrew. So we'll look at some other parts of that story later on. But the two different words are, the first one in Numbers, it's pronounced Yaturu. And the word in Joshua is pronounced, you know, we'll see if Adva's watching, Meraglim, I believe. So the two men enter the land, and they find themselves at the home of Rahab. She's an Arab woman who lives in the city, in the wall, actually. She's not out in the suburbs. She's not in the town. She's in the wall. So traditionally, we think of her as a prostitute. But the word that's used may also mean she was an innkeeper. It's possible she did a little of both. We don't know. But regardless, she was in a position where the men who were important were in and out of where she lived. So she would know what's going on in the land. She would know who's important. She'd know what the power was, what was coming down. When she realizes who these two men are, she shares that her people know the miracles that God has performed for them. And she says, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more spirit in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is in heaven above. He is God in heaven above and on earth beneath. So we've got a recognition of who he is. So maybe in her fear, she asks for favor from them if she agrees to protect them. So she's asking for the lives of her family. The men agree to do that, in spite of that being against Torah. They're not supposed to make covenant with foreigners. But they go ahead, and they basically sealed it with their lives. They said if she would help, they would also deal kindly and truly with her when the Lord would give them the land. The deal seems to have included more than just their land, or just their lives. So the story goes on with the men of the town looking for the spies. Rahab hides the spies under stalks of flax and sends the others on a chase, then lets the spies know where to go to be safe as they leave the city. So she tells them to look for the scarlet cord so they'll know where she and her family will be. As they leave, the spies make it clear that if any of her family goes outside of that, they won't keep them safe. They can't guarantee anything. But the men wait 3 days, which I think is probably important, and return to camp and report to Joshua. So those who know me very well know I like to dig into the meanings of words and get a little deeper on the Hebrew. So there's a lot in this story that, I mean, we've all learned this story probably in Sunday school, whether we were in this or in a regular church. And it seems like a simple story. They go spy out the land, they come back, say, hey, it's good, and, you know, they go on from there. But there's many, many things in this story that I think are important. Joshua is getting ready to lead the people to the promised land. He's probably anxious, especially since it's been 39 years. He went the first time, you know, it was all bad news. So he keeps it down low when he sends the two spies. The word used in Hebrew, meraglim, means to learn step by step. That's basically what they did. They were, it's a word that's used to learn about vulnerabilities, dangers, risks in overtaking things. And Joshua wants to be reassured that they can take this land. The two spies learned the vulnerabilities. They learned it really quickly. They didn't have to go very far. The people were terrified, so the report was, truly, the Lord has delivered into our hands all the land, and moreover, all the inhabitants of the land do melt away before us. So they have this really wonderful report. They're just saying, it's all clear. Everything is good. So they learned what they needed to step by step and brought a good report back to Joshua and to the Israelites that survived that 39 years. In the Torah portion, the word used for spy, yaturu, is often associated with being a tourist now. And that's basically, you know, what they were sent out to do. You know, it's a purposeful search, seek knowledge. So they were supposed to do sort of like a tourist would do. You go, what are the cities like? Are there good restaurants? What's the food like? Just explore the land and bring back your news of what you see. So that could be some bad things, but you would have expected with that word that there would be a lot of good things that they would bring back too. Just like Joshua and Caleb brought back all this wonderful fruit. You'd think that they could talk about that. But with the exception of Joshua and Caleb, again, it was scary, depressing, overwhelming, and they brought back words of defeat and fear that infected millions of people in that encampment. So we go to Rahab now. She was an Arab woman. In Hebrew, her name means pride or arrogance. But I decided she's an Arab woman. Let's look it up in Arabic. And in Arabic, it means broad or wide, open to possibility. So she's confronted with the spies from a land that she fears, yet she was about to see broadly. She saw opportunity and to trust. She could see the bigger picture. So she deals kindly with them from that standpoint instead of just fear. She hides them in flax. To most, that's just plant stalks, but symbolically, flax means righteousness. So the spies were covered and hidden in righteousness. I think another interesting thing about flax is made, it makes linen. And what's the covering of the priests? It's linen. So these spies are given this holy honor. So Rahab uses a red cord or thread to show where her family will be, so the place is kept safe. Can we see a hint of Yeshua here? Her family's in a different faith, yet if they have the scarlet on their doorpost, their lives will be saved. Think on that for a minute. This, you know, goes into today, where if we have that blood on our doorpost, our lives are also saved. Rahab was strong enough to lie to her king about where the spies were and sided with Israel so the Israelites could flourish in the land. How many midwives lied to Pharaoh in Egypt so the Israelites could flourish? And how like Ruth was Rahab? Both women ended up leaving their ancestral religions to join with the people and the God of Israel. And both became part of the lineage of Yeshua. They had a different vision. Of the initial 12 spies that were sent out, we'd lose me. Okay. They were so blinded that they had not one positive thing to say, and their moaning and groaning affected the entire camp for 39 years. God was like, I'm not putting up with this. You're not gonna actually go over in there. So the two that Joshua sent out, you know, and you would have expected a good report somewhere in that, besides just Joshua and Caleb in the first group. But that's not what happened. So the two Joshua sent out didn't report back on fruits or beautiful things, but they came back with good news that the land would be theirs. They saw that the victory was theirs, and they spoke a good report of what they saw, and it served to bring renewed faith and confidence to the people. Joshua's spies saw kindness, faith, and bravery in Rahab. They didn't judge her for her occupation, but promised her a place in Israel. Rahab saw the righteousness of the spies and the awesomeness of their God, and the God of Israel saw the faith in this woman and let death pass over her and her family. So the short story is filled with examples of how what we let ourselves see, what we learn step by step, shapes our lives. We can look for the scary things, and there's a lot out there that's pretty scary right now. We have all kinds of political things that are a problem. You know, we can talk about jabs, we can talk about abortion, we can talk about political parties. But we can look at those things, the obstacles, the fears, and how they define our world. And we can infect others so that they only see the defeat and darkness too. Or we can be like the two spies. They looked beyond the surface and saw the potential life in a prostitute. Or like Rahab, who saw the God of Israel in these two men and made the choice to follow him and to follow their God. We can't control the world, but we can choose how we let it impact our vision. We can choose to focus on the blessings that he gives us. We can focus on the hope that we have in him. We can keep our eyes on the victory that he's promised us. He has promised so many things, and those two spies saw that promise. They didn't look at the obstacles. They said, no, God said this. He's done all these things before. He's going to do that for us. And it's the same today. We have the victory, and we will possess the land.